fuel efficient can cars be without angering the people who make them?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Negotiations between the Obama administration and U.S. carmakers are now heating up over new miles per gallon standards. The White House is reportedly pushing to almost double the standards in the next 14 years, much higher than those asked for when carmakers GM and Chrysler were on government life support a few years ago. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is with us live with the latest on that story. Good morning, Mitchell.
Hi, Steve.
So what's the debate about now?
Well, the administration is pushing for U.S.-made cars and trucks to hit 56 miles a gallon on average by 2025. Environmentalists say go higher, 60 miles per gallon. It would save us all thousands filling up our cars and cut oil imports and cut greenhouse gases. Now, the auto industry, interestingly enough, doesn't say that hitting these higher fuel efficiency goals is technologically impossible. They just say it's really expensive, maybe pushing up the price by $10,000 per vehicle.
All right. So the technology is there, or at least on the drawing board. Why not just make this happen now?
Well, the reason may be us, U.S. consumers. Will we buy electric cars that have to be charged every few hundred miles or tiny little hybrids? Paul Eisenstein is at auto website thedetroitbureau.com.
Hybrids simply are not gaining market demand. If you were to remove the Toyota Prius, the amount of hybrids that are being sold, they're almost insignificant. They're little more than an asterisk on the sales charts.
And in fact, Eisenstein says Americans are buying big pickups again in bigger numbers, even with higher gas prices that we've been seeing. We just seem to really like our big cars and trucks.
All right. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reporting live for us. Mitchell, thanks.
You're welcome.
From fossil fuels to renewable energy now, and some federal incentives for solar power are set to expire by December of this year. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
At the Solar Energy Industries Association, Roan Resch says the U.S. gets 20 times more electricity from the sun than it did 5 years ago, and the market's set to double again this year,
adding somewhere around 33,000 new jobs.
Growth took off 2 years ago when the feds changed a 30% tax incentive to a cash grant and guaranteed loans for large solar projects. Both those measures expire this year, attractive cuts for a tight budget. Resch says that scares investors. David Victor at the University of California, San Diego, says solar companies are stuck between storylines.
On the one hand, they're trying to argue that they're growing really rapidly, and a sign that the industry is viable. On the other hand, if the subsidies were removed completely, the industry would collapse. It's a tiny fraction of the energy system.
Some solar subsidies are set to continue, but long term, the U.S. solar market remains partly cloudy. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mostly mixed right now. Today, the U.S. government reports on May factory orders with a slight increase expected. Wall Street opens for the week after a long holiday weekend.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day. On the web at Manta.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
British officials and journalists have come out publicly against a tabloid newspaper accused of phone hacking the phone of a missing school-aged girl. Now, phone hacking isn't new to Rupert Murdoch's News of the World newspaper, but Roy Greenslade says this case is very different from others. Greenslade is former editor of the British tabloid The Mirror, and he's a journalism professor at City University in London. Hi there.
Hi.
You know, it seems like in the past, these phone hacking cases were about celebrities. Tell us about this one. How is this one different?
We've come away from sports stars and celebrities into a tragic news story involving a 13-year-old girl who was abducted, which in the end ended in the discovery of her body. The News of the World hacked into the cell phone messages of the girl and even removed some of the messages in order to allow some space for others to arrive, and therefore materially intercepted in a major police investigation.
What was the newspaper trying to get? What kind of information was the newspaper trying to get?
I guess the paper were hoping that perhaps it might lead to discovering the identity of the murderer. They were playing detective, or they were merely scraping the barrel to get some extra exclusive material that other newspapers weren't getting.
How is this going to change the way the media and tabloid newspapers there in Britain operate?
Well, I think this has created a public furore on a different scale from that which has previously occurred in relation to the hacking of celebrities. This opens it up to ordinary people having their privacy abused. And I think the pressure on the News of the World and its owner, News International, and its ultimate owner, News Corp, and therefore Rupert Murdoch, the pressure has been ceaseless over the past 12, 14 hours. So this has become a major story. I've never known all the newspapers get so involved against another newspaper. So it was the front page lead story in nearly every newspaper this morning.
Roy Greenslade, former editor of The Mirror and a professor now of journalism at City University in London. Roy, thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, some homeowners in Miami say they're tired of tourists anchoring their boats right off waterfront property, their waterfront property. Property taxes there on their multi-million dollar estates top $100,000 a year. Yet the boaters, which enjoy the same sunset views of Biscayne Bay, sit right offshore for free. There are no laws against them being there. So some of the homeowners have taken their own hardcore measures, like shining floodlights all night long and playing loud hip-hop music during the day. One of the boaters is undeterred, though, telling the Miami Herald, homeowners who don't want to share the water should move to the desert. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. We're on the web at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
U.S. companies will spend over $7 billion this year on data servers.
That's going to double in the next 3 years.
So they're looking to spread out those energy costs. The ultimate goal?
How do we make the data center disappear?
I'm Bob Moon. The hidden costs of powering the Internet. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.